You don't need to worry about the attacks. You don't need to worry about the opposition. We are tempted, and I am certainly. I get attacked a lot, and you get attacked a lot of times. Tempted to respond, tempted to vindicate oneself. And this is a reminder, a very good reminder, that we need to let His character in us be manifest. The Lord is near.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today you continue your look at worry, and you connect worry with pride. How are those related?
Well, worry and pride are really two sides of the same coin. You see, when we worry, we're actually believing that God isn't who He really says He is. We don't see Him rightly, and in some sense, we may believe that we're better equipped to handle the situation. But in reality, we're not, and that's why we are worried about those things. Now, some wouldn't say it that way, but our actions would betray our word at times. They would reveal a heart that fully doesn't trust God. Now today, we're not only going to take a look at that aspect of worry, but we're also going to find some ways of replacing worry with trust in a faithful God. Our text is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
The word translated forbearing is a broad word, and there's no one word in English that fully translates it. He said the word described as forbearance, yieldedness, and congeniality, kindness, gentleness, mildness, magnanimity, and generosity, all these words would be instrumental in expressing the meaning of this Greek word. It indicates a willingness to give up your personal rights and show consideration, gentleness, and kindness to other people. It's one thing to yield your rights, and it's another thing to yield your rights in a way in which you're like Christ, where you're kind and gentle and not taking out your rights by your attitude. Some people yield their rights in reality, but their attitudes, their rights have not been yielded at all. That's not what this word is speaking of. It speaks of forbearance, a gentle, sweet reasonableness, a gentle yielding. And there's a cognate of this word that describes Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness, and here's our cognate of that word, gentleness of Christ. Jesus Christ is our example. He gently yielded His rights and went to the cross and died for you and I. But you see, He yielded His rights to do the will of God, and that's what it's about. We yield our rights to do what is right. We also have it in James chapter 3. But the wisdom which is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle. You see, when God's wisdom from His word is working in your heart, there is a yielded reasonableness. Not talking about compromise. Look at the Apostle Paul. He didn't compromise, but there was a yielded reasonableness. So we have the command, and it's actually a command, let your forbearing spirit or your gentle reasonableness be known to all men. It's interesting. To be manifest or made known to everyone. Let everyone see it. Now you think, wait a second, are we supposed to try to act gentle and act reasonable and act yielding around people so they see it? No, that's not what he's saying. You see, because this word here is in a passive voice, allow it to be manifest. As you yield to Christ in the midst of difficult situations, let that be seen by all men. Let it be seen. Let your yielding be manifest. Let it be made known. And notice he says, here's why. The Lord is near. Here's why you can yield in situations. Here's why you don't need to hold on to your rights. Here's why you don't need to fear or, as we'll see, worry when you're being attacked. Here's why. Because for the believer, the Lord is near. So we should have a different demeanor around all men because the Lord is near. So as a believer, we are not shaken and thrown off kilter by everything that comes across us. And yes, we're tempted, by the way. But when we recognize the Lord is near, we can rest. We can yield. We can allow Him to take care of those issues. We don't have to do it ourselves. All we need to do is obey Him in the context of what He's put before us. Now, this word near speaks of something being at hand. It's often speaking of something being near. We have in Romans 10:8, the word is near you or in your mouth. Romans 13:11, now salvation is nearer to us than when we have believed. Ephesians 2:13, but now Christ, whom you formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Relating to the coming of Christ in Revelation 1:3 and 22:11, we see it is at hand. So what does our verse mean in our passage? Well, there are two similar and related possibilities. First of all, either the Lord is near personally, and that's true, by the way. We know that to be true biblically. Or the Lord's coming to judge and vindicate is near. It is at hand. We know in the book of James, chapter 5, the Lord is right at the door. He's ready to judge. He's ready to address those who have been causing you to suffer. He's ready to take care of that. And we are to be patient, like a patient farmer. So those are the two concepts, and I think they go together. The point is, He is watching us, taking care of us, and He will vindicate us. He's near. You don't need to worry about the attacks. You don't need to worry about the opposition. The Lord is near. You see, we are tempted, and I am certainly. I get attacked a lot, and you get attacked a lot of times. Tempted to respond, tempted to vindicate oneself. And this is a reminder, a very good reminder, that we need to let His character in us be manifest. The Lord is near. And when we don't, we confess it and we're forgiven. Turn to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. And this should be a testimony to all. You see, we live in a country where we have our rights. We all want our rights. And, you know, praise the Lord for those rights. But yet, we are citizens of heaven. We're not to demand anything. We are not to use our freedom in Christ and even in this country as a covering for sin. We need to yield. Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. Now, this is speaking to Israel, but there's a principle here. This is the heritage of what? The servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. He's the one that will vindicate us. He's near. So relax and yield. The Lord is near. And let people see it. You see, we're to be rejoicing. We're not to be fearing. A little earlier in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will surely help you. I will surely uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord is near. He hasn't gone away. He died for your sins, and He is on your side. Trust Him and confess when you don't, and He'll forgive you. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. It's not a phony, baloney, pharisaical knowledge of something where they stand in the streets so people will see them. It is just allowing Christ to be manifest in your heart and mind so that your actions are changed and they're different. The mind of Christ working in our hearts. Brother and sister, do you need to yield anywhere? Graciously give up your temporal rights to obey the Lord? Have you failed? Confess and be forgiven. We all fail, right? If anyone says he's without sin, they're a liar, right? We do fail. But we want to be more and more like Christ. We want to grow and not go back to from where we've come. Let it be manifest. The Lord is near. So with that in mind, we see that we are first of all to yield ourselves. If you want God's peace, you need to yield yourself. You need to submit to Him. You need to trust Him. He's near. He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of the circumstances. He's going to take care of the people. He's going to take care of the situations. He's going to do so. He just wants us to obey Him in the midst of that and trust Him. Trust and obey. So then the Lord is near. Yield that everyone would see it. Now notice next how we are able to stop worrying how to have His peace is that we need to pray about everything rather than worrying about anything. Pray about everything rather than worrying about anything. Verse 6, back in Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, worry is a mind thing. It's a thinking thing. It's about our thoughts. And by the way, worry is a serious sin. Some people in churches don't see it as a sin at all. They see it as some type of issue or whatever it might be. But it's a serious sin. And it's a serious sin because it is totally opposite of faith. It totally attacks the core of our relationship. We were saved by faith, we walk by faith, and worry eliminates faith in the moment. And indeed, in all worry, as we will see, at its root is a lack of trust and a doubt in God's goodness, or a forgetfulness about those. You see, worry can cause many divisions and conflicts and fights. When we worry, we don't trust. When we worry, we can't be joyful. When we worry, we cannot worship. When we worry, we have no peace. It is a cruel taskmaster. You see, when you yield yourself to sin, you then become controlled by it. It puts you in chains, in a sense. You become a slave to sin when you yield to sin. And the world has its solutions. And sometimes well-meaning but naive believers don't understand the Word of God, and they go for the world's solutions, which do not resolve the issue. Maybe some of you were under the cruel taskmaster of worry. You see, it controls us. It brings forth death. It cuts us off from fellowship with the Lord. And worry carries often with it other sins, because worry attacks the core of our relationship with Christ, which is faith. When worry is present, faith is not. I'm not talking about the temptation to worry. I'm talking about yielding to it. We're all tempted, certainly most of the time. And remember, conflict often leads to worry, and worry often leads to conflict, right? So then, we need to recognize that worry is a cruel taskmaster, and it also deflates our testimony and witness. Do you think you're having a forbearing, yielding spirit when you're worrying? What do you think the world thinks of you and I if we're worrying? We know the living God, but yet we're not trusting Him. Even they can spot that, right? So when we worry, we're acting like someone who doesn't know Christ. But God is gracious, and God is kind, and He loves you, and He loves me. And He looks out for our best interests. And thus, as a loving father would command a son in whom he deeply loved to do what is right, God commands us, as we will see, not to worry, but to pray instead. Not to worry. He commands us to do this. If you are a worrier, God has not given up on you. You're here today. God wants you to hear this. Now, you may be convicted because of this horribly controlling sin. When you do it, it's terrible. But God is good. And He wants you to be like Christ. He wants to set you free. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And then the next time those chains are about to wrap around you, you'll understand what to do in Christ to be set free from those temptations and what to do when we fail. So then, I don't want this passage to leave you with a guilt trip, which is really pride on whoever's part who would have that, by the way. But leave today being corrected by a loving God who wants to protect you, and then rejoice in the forgiveness that is in the Lord. So then, what do we do about worry? What do we do when we're worried about our future, our finances, our family, our friends, work, vacation, safety, ministry, church, what people think? How is it we almost never worry about what Christ thinks? What are we to do? Here's the first command. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. It's an imperative command by the living God through the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit. Be anxious for nothing. And if we weren't tempted and we don't fall in these areas, then we wouldn't need the command. We are tempted and we do fall. Be anxious for nothing. Now, we don't need to understand what worry is. I don't need to explain to you what worry is. I don't need to explain to you what anxiety is. We all understand it is a strong emotion that not only affects our minds, but it does over time affect us physically. Sin affects you. If you think wrong for a long time, you're going to be messed up. You see? It affects us. It affects us. But Christ can set you free. There's nothing impossible for God. So here we are to be anxious for nothing, not one thing. And there is no caveat here. There is no clauses. But if this is this, no. Continually not be anxious for anything. Now, does this mean we ignore reality? We ignore the sickness or the trials as they come? No, not at all. We certainly recognize those. See, David throughout the scripture saying, oh, Lord, I'm being oppressed. Oh, Lord, this, whatever it might be. But he's praying about it. He's praying about it. As we're going to see, we are to pray rather than worry. The venue to share the difficulties you are going through is with God, not within yourself and your own mind all the time. Now, this term anxious can also be translated concerned. You see, it's actually used in a positive sense. There is a biblical concern, and that's not worry. The Apostle Paul was concerned. He said no one but Timothy would be genuinely concerned for your welfare. He's not saying anxious. There's a biblical concern that we do have. When there are things that are around us that are wrong, we have a concern about those things. But it's not anxiety or worry. So can I be anxious about my physical condition? Be anxious for nothing. Can I be anxious about my job? Be anxious for nothing. Can I be anxious about the church? Be anxious for nothing. Can I be anxious about preaching right now? Be anxious for nothing. Can I be concerned about situations that are biblical and other people and where they're at with the Lord and have concerns? Yes, but not so as to worry. What about the airplane flight? Can I be anxious for that? We might all die. No, be anxious for nothing, right? Now, I'm not saying that we test the Lord thy God by taking foolish risks. I'm not saying that. We are not to put the Lord God to the test. But as we go about his business, obeying him, walking with him, not in our own foolishness, we are to worry about nothing. Why? Certainly the Lord is near. He is sovereign over all of us. He is Lord. He's in control. And secondly, we can go to him in prayer. We can go to the God who created us, the God who saved us, the God who holds the whole universe together, rather than worry about what's in front of us. You see, we're not to worry about anything. And let me ask you, do you give yourself a pass when you worry? Just confess it and be forgiven. Another pastor writes, do you ever find yourself worrying? Do you know that Scripture calls worry a sin? When you realize that you're worrying, did you go to God and confess it as a sin? Worry is just as much a sin, not in the levels, but just as much a sin as adultery, murder, theft. Yet how often do believers treat it lightly when we find our stomachs tied in knots because we've worried ourselves into a nervous frenzy? We don't realize that we've fallen into sin. God says be anxious for nothing. We shouldn't do it, right? We're not to be anxious. Jesus made it clear we're not to be anxious, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 6. Let's turn there. You see, the stuff we worry about is not really the big stuff. Back then, they were concerned about what they would wear and what they would eat and where they'd sleep. We don't really have those concerns. We're concerned about the stuff that doesn't matter at times. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for you either hate one and love the other, or he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's money. For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life. This is Jesus saying this to the multitude, but then to us. As to what you should eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? You're so much more valuable to God. He sent his son to die for you. You're very valuable. Don't forget that. He says here, and which of you by being anxious can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so raised the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown out into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? He says here, do not be anxious then for what we shall eat or what we shall drink or with what we shall clothe ourselves. For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We're not to worry. But if your God is money, worry, because you're in trouble. But if God is your God, don't worry. We're not to worry about anything, and all worry is sin. But what if I have a chemical imbalance? Very popular statement these days, right? Well, God doesn't say anything about chemical imbalances. He says, be anxious for nothing, except you who have that. No, he doesn't say that at all. You see, this is not a physical issue at its core, although sickness and chemical imbalances or whatever it might be can increase your temptation, you bet. You know, when you're sick, you get tempted easier, right? When physically, what was Jesus? When he went to be tempted, right, in the wilderness, he hadn't eaten. No doubt. But we are to be anxious for nothing. No exemptions. If we're worrying, we're sinning. We're not trusting God. That's the issue. Confess your lack of trust in the Lord. Be graciously forgiven and restored. And some of you may say, I can't stop. And that is completely true if you don't know Christ. But for those of us who have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, he's commanding us, and with the command always comes his empowerment and then the instruction of what to do. Instead, he doesn't just say stop, he says stop, but do this. Don't do this, but do this instead. And so often we try to stop something, but we don't do what he says. And we find ourselves tempted over and over again and yielding. So then notice, we're not to worry about anything, but we're to choose to humbly pray about everything. To humbly pray about everything. Back to our passage, verse 6. Be anxious about nothing, but in contrast, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, we're to be anxious about nothing. But we have a contrast. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Here is the antidote to worry. Humble prayer. Prayer to a God who loves you so much, he gave his son to die in your place. Prayer to a God in whom you can boldly come before his throne and receive grace and mercy in time of need. Prayer to a God who can sympathize with our weaknesses because he became like us, yet without sin. We're commanded not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything. You see, if you're worrying, you show a lack of trust in God, and that's an insult, basically. It's sin, by the way. A gracious God who gave himself. So we need to correct ourselves in our minds and catch it when we do and fail when confess, Lord God, I'm sorry. I blew it. I've been worrying. And know I'm forgiven. Help me in the situation, Lord God. Here's what's happening. Lord God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. This is what's going on. It's hurting me a lot, Lord God. Help me here. Thank you so much for your kindness towards me. You're so gracious and so kind.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments remaining in today's broadcast, what's our takeaway from this message?
Well, Dave, the takeaway is this. We need to control what we think about. As believers, we're children of God. We're new creations in Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit. Now, because who we are in Christ and what we do is so intricately connected to our heart and mind,
God wants us to be diligent in what we allow ourselves to think about. Indeed, as we've seen, God wants us to think about those things in accordance with His truth laid out in His Word. Before our salvation, we paid little attention to what was entering our minds and our hearts. But now we need to hold every thought captive, because everything we think about directly affects our hearts and then our attitudes and actions.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.